this. Hello, my friends, and thank you for tuning into the podcast this week. We love having you here. It doesn't exist without you. If you're looking to amp up your level of healing, wholeness, integration, letting go of the past, releasing limiting beliefs, clearing, healing, processing things that you haven't been able to do on your own, or that despite the awesomeness of therapy, you haven't been able to free yourself of in therapy, join us for my next four-week healing intensive. We begin July 15th, Fridays, 4 weeks, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern time on Fridays for 4 weeks. We're going to do a deep dive into your human design chart. We're going to do a lot of divine light healing transmission. We're going to use EFT and tapping techniques to clear everything that stops you, sticks you, limits you, bothers you, period. Plus, in this four-week healing intensive, you get two private sessions with yours truly, where we will open the Akashic Records, answer any questions you have from your higher self, and heal whatever needs to be healed, my friends. So it's 4 weeks of classes. Each class is 2 hours every Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern. And you get two private healing sessions with yours truly, this bitch. If you're ready to register today, just Venmo $4.75 to Katie the Rubin. That's KATIETHERUBIN. Or email me with any questions you have at klrubin@gmail.com. I love ya! Oh no! We finally did it! It only took us 9 minutes. Good to see you all. Hello. Sorry, we were having technical difficulties. We couldn't figure our stuff out, but we did. We're here, and so are you, and that's great. Hello, and welcome to Katie Church. It is Wednesday. It is 5:39 on the eastern seaboard of the United States of America. Who's here, my friends? Say hi. Shoot us a little commentio in the commentio section of the thing here if you want to. All right, I'm going to start talking on this topic so we can see if we can get some useful information out. So there's this idea in the spiritual worlds that, and you've heard people say, I'm sure, that, you know, you are God. There are people who say, you know, like, let's say you enter a religion in a really like traditional sense of what the word religion means. If you enter a religion, they will tell you, well, I should say most religions that we're familiar with here in America. So when you enter like a traditional religion, or you start to look at what they say or listen to the people who teach them, a lot of times they say there's you and there's God. And some of the churches and practices say you need an intermediary in order to talk to God, because these intermediaries are special and we call them priests, and you become one, and then only through them can you talk to God. And in sort of like modern spiritual practices, there's this idea that no, you don't. You are God. Everybody's God. We're all God. So you don't need an intermediary. You don't need a priest, and don't follow those rules of the religion anyway, because it's all horseshit and it was all designed to control you. I would offer a third perspective, which is to say there's a little bit of truth in both of those polarities, that in fact, what we have there is an example of yet another polarity in the world we live in. And this is a polarity that can be dissolved in your consciousness and merged into the oneness of the all that is, so that you can have more freedom and more space in your heart, body, mind, organism. And so that you directly can have a relationship with this thing called the divine, and you yourself can become an intermediary, right? Like a priest or a priestess, if you so desire. So there's a lot to say here. The first piece that I'll say is there is a certain degree of truth to the idea that you need an intermediary for a while. That's the caveat I would add. You need somebody who has a little bit more access to the divine light than you have, maybe at the beginning of your journey, so that somebody can activate you on your process or on your spiritual path. I shouldn't say you can't. There are plenty of people in the world and in the history of time who've had an activation and a connection with the divine that just occurred spontaneously. It does happen. That totally happens. But if that hasn't happened for you and you're looking for a connection with the divine and you want to know it for real, I'm like, do I have a piece of food in my tooth? I do, right there. Is this spiritual? Is this the behavior of a spiritual leader? That's the best that's going to be. You're welcome. So if you're starting on a spiritual path, or if you're at some phase of the journey of trying to have a connection with spirit, it's helpful to have somebody who's been on the path for a while to direct you and to say, like, that's your ego, that's bullshit, this is the higher road. Or like, here, I'm going to transmit some light at you into your heart so your heart can expand and you can know the divinity yourself. Or here, I'm going to teach you these meditation techniques so that you know how to tap into the spacious, vast field of silent oneness. Depending on the particular track that you take to meet the divine, or the ephemeral, or the all that is, or whatever we like to call it, the mystery, the divine aspect of consciousness, conscious awareness, it helps to have a teacher. It helps to have somebody who can be like, come this way. Ooh, that's a pitfall. Watch for that pitfall. But it's not true that only certain people can have a relationship with the divine, that only certain people can become an intermediary. It is true that certain people have a proclivity towards it and are maybe better at it, or it's easier for them than the average Joe, in the same way that, like, you know, I could never be a NFL player or a concert pianist or a CPA. There's like a lot of stuff in this life that this body, mind, organism was not built for. So different people are built for different things. We each have different vessels and different gifts and different talents, and we're all meant to play the part we're each meant to play. So in that sense, some people are just organic, natural intermediaries between the divine and the mundane. And so you could call them priests or priestesses, and you could say that they are the intermediaries between the divine and this realm. And so you might go to them and learn from them and get some transmission from them. But the idea would be for that person, hopefully, to be facilitating you in having your own direct communication and being just a teacher and a facilitator of the development of your own conscious awareness of whatever divinity is. So that's an example of what it looks like to have an empowering spiritual teacher in your life, okay? Who is an intermediary, who does know some stuff you don't know, and who has some access that you don't currently maybe have. Great. Now, that's addressing the first side of this polarity, which is the religion side, where the belief can be like, there's you, and then there's God. And boy, we don't know what God is at all. So we come to church and we follow the rules and we say the prayers because God is special and God is far away and God is out there in the sky, and it's such a mystery. We have no access. Who knows what God? I don't know. I'm just a little tiny person and I don't matter. And the priest is special and God is special and it's all far away. Okay. That's an ego-based mental polarity that gets set up between special ego priest person and all the other little lowly people, which we just debunked by saying, have a teacher, follow them if they feel useful to you until you have your own direct connection. Okay. Now, on the other side of that, when we come into the newer spiritual teachings, the science of mind stuff, and a lot of the churches of today, there's a lot of new the Quakers, and the Quakers have been around a long time. That's a bad example, but science of mind, and I can't think of any of the other, like Unitarianism, you know, and stuff like that. I'm not quoting right now specifically what the Unitarians or the science of mind people say, but there are a lot of newer churches. And in the newer consciousness, there's this idea that you are already God. You're God. God is you. You are God. Love is you. You are love. There's no separation. So stop worrying about it. That has also not been a useful set of words in my reality. And I'll explain why. When I used to go to the Science of Mind Church, which I really love and still love, they had this motto, you're whole, perfect, and complete, just the way you are, the end. And I was like, but I'm not, and I know I'm not. I had a ton of trauma and a ton of injuries on my heart and a lot of separation from God and a lot of dark proclivities and a lot of pain in my body. So I was like, I'm not actually whole, perfect, and complete, though. I'm in a lot of pain and suffering all the time, and I don't feel complete, and I'm not whole. So I kept being confused by that mantra. And they would say, you are God, and all you have to do is understand that in your mind. They also taught that there's no external evil energies. There's only just negative thinking or positive thinking. And then the idea was like not to judge yourself when you get into negative thinking, but to reframe the thinking. Okay, that a zillion percent did not work for me. And I think it works really, really well for some people. remember, there's no one right way to this divinity thing, to consciousness, to God. There's no one right path ever at all, ever. So you got to find what works for you for real and truly, for sure and for real. Now, what I didn't like about that idea was, if I'm God, right, why am I suffering so much? What am I to make of that? If I'm God, why am I so depressed all the time? If I'm God, why can't I heal my injuries? Why am I so angry at my mom? Whatever it might be, right? Why do I carry this trauma from childhood? So what I came to understand after discovering that the idea, the simple, overly simplified idea that, like, you're God, so don't trip, wasn't working for me, nor was the idea that there was some special person who had access to God, but I don't ever have it. That didn't work either. I started down a path of finding out, like, what does it take to connect to this thing we call God, or conscious awareness, or truth, or love, or the ephemeral, or the beyond? What does it take to connect to it? What do I need to do to connect to it for myself? And how do I, if there's a partial truth in the idea that I am God, because I also did feel there's some kind of truth in that, right? There's a partial truth in it. Why can't I feel it? And how do I get to where I can feel it? How do I get to where I know it? How do I get to where, you know, look, Jesus the Christ was a dude who lived on the earth and he had some fucking special abilities, if we believe any of the pieces of paper that were written down about things that happened around him. The guy was a wizard because he was really close to God. So I'm thinking, if we're all God, is there a way to become closer to being a wizard? And if so, like, AKA having some mastery of time and space, like, he walked on fucking water, theoretically. He healed the sick. He did all kinds of shit. He at least was amazing enough that everybody around him followed his ass. Same with Muhammad and all the other prophets who've shown up on this planet. People follow his ass and wrote down the shit he said and have been following it for zillions of years or thousands of years or whatever. So he did something cool. It wasn't all just like random words written in a book that people went crazy and followed him. No, he fucking showed up and did some cool shit and people started talking about it. Okay, now, and I get all that is debatable depending on your point of view about reality, which is fine. I don't need to prove that point to you. My point is this. I had a feeling in my body. I had an awareness in my heart that there was a way to gain more mastery over time and space, to gain more wholeness inside myself, to have a more intimate connection with the divine. So what did I do? I went to several schools. The first one, of course, being the Sufi school I've talked about many times, where there were people farther ahead of me on the path who transmitted divine light to me, through me, at me, on me, in me, around me, near me, long enough to activate my own connection really potently. And once my own connection was activated in a really potent way, I was then able to harness the light of the divine to heal the rest of my stuff. Anything that could be treated by divine light, first they treated it for me. Then they templated for me what it is to treat something with divine light. And then I mastered the ability to treat something with divine light. So then I was unstoppable, because then in terms of healing my stuff, because then I could just bring the divine light to anything that needed help. Okay. So I literally trained and studied and figured out how to do it. Now we're looking at the question, like, or the idea that you are God or you are not God. And then we're looking at the question or the idea that you are special or you are not special. I love talking about this. There's something really deep and really important in this conversation. I hope I can get at it the way I want to. So here's what I would say about you are God versus you are not God. In the sense that in a certain realm of consciousness, okay, not the realm of duality where we go shopping and we have dogs and we take naps and we live in apartments. In a certain realm beyond that, a subtler realm of consciousness, everything is God. Because if God is the creation source of all energy, or let's say consciousness, if everything emerges from a space that, whether you call it God or conscious awareness, okay, I'm going to keep flipping back and forth with the terms, but everything emerges from this really high frequency light, okay, because all matter is energy. So if you imagine like a pole, like a very bright pole of, let's say, golden light, and we'll call it God or conscious awareness. And if you imagine that everything coming out of it is everything you see in creation, everything emerges from this oneness realm, okay? In the sense that everything is of that light and is of that frequency, that all molecules start at the light. In that sense, of course, everything is God. You are God. God is love and you have love, so you are God. Okay, But in the sense that God can do a lot of stuff I'm not so fucking good at. Why? Because I have a mind and an ego. I am definitely not God. Like, really, really not. Here's how I know I'm not God. In order to forgive people, I need a spiritual practice, or I need God to enter my heart, or conscious awareness to enter my heart, change the state of my heart through magical wizardry, so that I move from fuck you to I get it. You were just in pain and I feel you and I'm sorry for you and I'm sending love your way. To really feel that in your heart, not to be just acting like you feel it or saying from your mind that you feel it, there needs to be a spiritual intervention for that to occur. Now, how you as an individual get to that spiritual intervention is totally dependent upon the vehicle that you have. You may be somebody who can contemplate deeply with your mind and then have an awakening in your heart. That's a real spiritual path. You may be someone who needs the Sufi light. You may be somebody who needs Christ light. You may be somebody who needs to meditate in a Buddhist way in your body through Vipassana. You may be somebody who needs to do Kundalini yoga. There's many ways. Whatever your way is, great, do that thing. And the point being, the more of that thing that you do, okay, well, let me get back to this. Put a pin in the more of that thing you do. But to finish this first thought, it's like, I'm very much not God because I keep being very human. I keep hating people and needing help forgiving them. I keep being impatient and needing help with patience. I keep getting better and better and hating less and less and being more and more patient and spacious and loving. And I'm, you know, I keep getting evolving on the spiritual evolution path, but I'm not done like evolving as a human in this body mind organism and trying to live as a spiritual human on earth. That's a tall order. I happen to be someone who's really good at transmitting divine light and who can enter high states of consciousness and bring a lot of light through. But that doesn't mean I can hold the state of consciousness that the Christ held when he was in a human body as well as that guy could. It doesn't mean that I'm kind and patient every millisecond. I'm a human being and a human with a mind and an ego. And so I'm doing my very best. And I'm actually quite committed to doing very well at this trying to be a person living a spiritual life thing. But I'm a person. Always and first and foremost, a person with limitations in 3D reality. Do I have limitations in the realities beyond 3D reality? No. When you expand your conscious awareness into the realms beyond, like when I live in 5D, I am like limitless and unstoppable. Good for me. But guess what? You got to do a bunch of stuff to stay in 5D. Now, some people would say differently. I have a friend who teaches 5D stuff where she talks about like her whole thing that she does is teaching people how to move from 4D to 5D. I don't personally believe in that for myself as a path. For me, I'm interested in the following thing. I want to live here in 3D reality where the people are. And I want to have access to 4 and 5 and 9 and 15 and beyond to contribute to the people here in 3D. That's what I'm up to. Now, I know this for myself because I did the whole living in 5D thing and it wasn't for me. There's a lot to say about that. When you live from 5D, there's no way to be a part of the human race. And I was really interested in experiencing what does it mean to really join this human race thing? And in order to join the human race, you got to live in 3D as well. You can live in 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, whatever you want, but you got to master 3 if you want to really be a teacher who can work with human beings. You got to not just go to 5. You got to be able to master 3 and then merge into 4, 5. Anyway, that's my point of view because that's what I'm looking for. Okay. Now, coming back to the thing at hand. So are we God or are we not God? Yes, in the realms of unity, everything is one thing. So all things emanate from God or are of the God light. But because you're in a body-mind organism, in a human body on earth, you have a mind and an ego and you are deludable. You are confusable. You can be led astray. You can be reactive. You can be shitty. You could cheat on your partner and never tell them. You could whatever the fucking things are that for you separate you from what you understand the divine to be. Okay. So we need this divine light stuff to be our best selves. Or you could frame that another way. We need the teachings of some conscious beings to follow. We need tools. We need help. Like I have shared with you guys that I did the 12-step programs for many, many years. And I took with me like some really like foundational. I will never be the same. It's the basis of my whole reality. Practices from the 12 steps. I've also taken tools from many, many practices and kept what works for me and released what does not. The 12 steps, if you work them, they are a very intense spiritual path. Okay. And today, this very day, I was talking to a girlfriend on the phone about somebody who is in my orbit, who I'm watching like spiral down an alcoholic rabbit hole. And I was taking myself through the 12 steps in a voice memo to her. I was going like, okay, so I'm powerless over his alcoholism and my life is unmanageable. Cool. I come to believe a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity, right? Because I'm tripping about him being an alcoholic. So I talked myself through the 12 steps, all 12 of them, 1 to 12, because I worked them so long and they work so well. And I really believe in their value and they're great tools. Because in that moment, that was the tool my ego, mind, heart system needed to get back to wholeness and peace, where I'm not tripping about a friend of mine being alcoholic. I was not at peace because that person is struggling. And that to me is when that's codependency. Okay. So I don't want to give my peace away because somebody else is struggling. Now, that doesn't mean we don't help other people. And it doesn't mean we don't care about other people. I have like a plan of action in place actually to help this friend. But what we're talking about is not losing my serenity because they're suffering. So I had to go through a spiritual process to get back to, oh, okay, there's my peace again. He can suffer all he wants. And I'm going to give him some tools if he wants them. And I'm going to surrender the outcome. But I'm back to peace while I'm doing that. So a lot of times what people do is they give their peace away in order to help someone else. Oh my God, they're sick and I have to help them. And now I'm frantic and everybody's sick. Well, what if you could be at peace while you help people? That would be the ideal state. Because if you lose your peace over somebody helping someone, how does that work for you? That's called being a martyr. That's where you give your power away so someone else can have power. What we're supposed to have in this reality is a win-win situation, where if I help you and I stay in my center, everybody wins. It's not about I help you and my life gets shittier while I'm helping you. It needs to be a win-win in order for things to be whole. Now, if you don't care about being whole and you don't care about chaos running through your nervous system, then go ahead and get frantic and be upset and lose your cool. That's fine. You have free will. Go ahead, do it. But we're talking about what does it take to stay spiritually centered. Okay, so am I God or am I not God? In the realm of all oneness and unity, all things are God, so sure. But in the sense that, can I live by the principles of what I call God easily in this moment? Depends on my state in that moment. Am I always perfectly patient and loving and generous and, you know, responsible and intelligent? You know, am I always all the things that I understand the divine to be? No, nah, ner. So I need help. I need spiritual practice. Part of why I teach so much of this stuff, and I'm teaching so much of this lately, you guys, like so much. You know why? When I'm teaching you, I'm more aligned than when I'm not teaching you. When I'm just on the couch or like making my dinner, I just go straight to crazy. Not really, but kind of. I mean, I have an open head and ajna in the human design parlance. So like everybody's thoughts run through my head all day and then the doubts come. And that, it's like, it's so easy to go back to negative thinking and fear, all the things. So I have a practice with myself to keep myself out of all that. But one of the greatest tools in my toolkit is teach what I need to remember. What I love about teaching, part of it is all of this is just channeling through. It's just coming through. It's just coming out of my mouth. Half the time I'm talking here, you guys, I don't know what the fuck is happening or how it's happening, but this is part of my path. So it's just natural for me. It's organic. So I feel very much in flow when I do this work or I teach a class or whatever. I'm in flow. I feel right. I feel like I'm in the right place in my life, in the world when I'm doing this. And that is what we call spiritual alignment. When what you're doing feels correct, not when what you're doing feels thrilling and exciting and the most exciting thrill-seeking thrill, joy every second thing in the world, that's a different thing. So I'll give you an example. A lot of times people think alignment is when you're just like, you're just high as a kite on life. When you're just like, everything's amazing. That's just a peak experience. That's a roller coaster. That's a shot of espresso. That's sex with somebody hot. Well, guess what? All peak experiences eventually level out. The roller coaster ends. super hot sex, you got to take a shower after and go to work at some point. You can't fuck all day. You got to sleep. You got to give that nervous system a break. You can drink espresso, as I regularly do, and then you're going to need a sandwich to like level out. So what goes up must come down. So my point being, alignment, or you could say right employment or right spiritual work for you, feels correct. It doesn't always feel high and amazing. Sometimes I don't want to do this shit. But as soon as I start doing it, I go, oh my God, I'm so where I want. This is so correct. I know how to do this. I love doing it. It's very fulfilling. I finish and I go, I did good stuff for the world today. That's what feeling correct is. So that's me. So back to the question at hand. That's an example of me living correctly for my design, you could say. Or you could say it's an example of me serving the divine in a way that keeps me close to it. See, I'm interested in having a very close, intimate relationship with the divine. Why? Because it feels better when I do. And because I get all the magic wizard benefits of doing so. I have psychic awareness. I have the ability to heal people. I get guidance and direction of who to date and who to not date. I get guidance and direction on every topic. Do I always listen? Definitely not. Hence my espresso addiction. Do I always do it perfectly? Of course not, because I'm a human mammal, not God. And yet, am I God? At the molecular level, sure. Okay, so then this brings us to the specialness idea, which is such a fucking important fucking idea. By the way, I'm so grateful to you guys because you guys make it, you guys are just everything, because there are so many spiritual people I know who believe that because I say fuck a lot, or I have a powerful way of talking, or there's 90 reasons that the way I am discounts me from being a spiritual leader, because in their belief system, it discounts me from being a spiritual leader. You have to be very like this, and everything's like this all the time, and like this. And you know, like thisness is perfect for some people, and that is their spiritual path. But that doesn't mean mine is wrong. And this is my main beef with spiritual people. Spiritual people are so fucking cocksucking righteous about the rightness of their own path, which is so arrogant, it drives me crazy. If you could look at your fucking human design chart and everybody on your spiritual fucking path, like let's say you're a Mormon. All of your Mormon buddies, if you look at their human design, probably have some similarities going on. Why would you assume that because you and 50 people you hang out with, this thing works for you, that it's the right thing? What an arrogant bullshit thing to fucking believe in. Okay, so that's my rant for the day. For me, there's a kind of anger and a kind of rant and a kind of potency that I can embody that is me speaking for God. Why? Because I'm angry in the name of justice, mercy, freedom, love, and oneness. I'm angry at people's arrogance, which creates separation between other people. I'm angry at people's arrogance where they go, my spiritual thing is better than your spiritual thing, and my spiritual thing is right. And then they call that a spiritual perspective. That is ego in action. How fucking clueless can you be? This, my favorite thing about people taking that point of view is like every religious person who thinks that, but doesn't recognize that all the other religious people also think that. So like the Muslims are like, the one true religion. And the Christians are like the one true path. And the Buddhists are like, the one true truth. Except Buddhists are not very one true truthy. They're too inclusive for that. You know, have you guys not noticed that every other religion is thinking the same shit? So who's right? And if you're worried about who's right, you have missed the spiritual point. The spiritual point is unity, oneness amongst all hearts, not just the ones who wear the same hat you wear when you do your spiritual shit. Okay, I'm getting off my soapbox on that topic. What the fuck are we talking about? Specialness. Okay, it's a perfect transition. Oh my God, it's such a perfect transition. There's so much irony in the topic of specialness. Thank you, Frida. I so appreciate that. And Ben, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it because, I mean, really, truly, I get to be myself. If you guys give a shit to hear any words I have to say, it's me getting to be who I am, be heard and received. And that is everything for me. That is the fulfillment that my heart desires. So it's, you know, this is very reciprocal here. So thank you. I like Kabbalah. I can't like you. LOL. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Sarah. You get it. Okay. So specialness. Well, this is the whole thing. When people get real spiritual on any path, they start to feel real fucking special because they gain some gifts and abilities. Oh, I'm psychic now. Oh, I'm so peaceful now. Oh, I feel blissed out all the time. Oh, I'm an energy healer. Well, good for you. You're still a human being who probably does some bullshitty douchey stuff. You know why? Because you're a fucking human being. That's what we all fucking do. Okay. But the thing about I am God and I am not God is they both have a piece of the polarity of I am special or I am not special in it. So when we talk about humility, all right, what is humility? Humility, I like the definition of humility that says humility means I am right sized. I'm right sized for me, not I'm good or I'm not bad. It's I'm right sized for myself. In other words, I have a big, huge energy and a lot of words that want to come out through my face holes. That is right sized for me. When I spent all those years of my life trying to dim my light and be quiet, not talk about what I know and not pursue the light and not be who I am, that was me being arrogant in reverse. So when you're super insecure and you're hiding yourself, that is the flip side of the coin of arrogance, because you think you're so specially fucked up and wrong. See, being really fucked up and wrong and playing small is a subtle form of arrogance. I'll say it again. When you're like, I can't be who I am because I'm so fucked up and weird and I can't just express myself. That is ego in reverse, meaning I'm the biggest piece of shit the world revolves around. Another way to say it is low self-esteem is the other side of the coin of arrogance. Why? Because when you have low self-esteem, you're very importantly bad. When you're a narcissist or have a big inflated ego, you're very importantly good. So stay with me and see if we can track this. I'm going to say it again. When you have really low self-esteem and you're hiding from your own power and your own light, you're living from, I'm so bad. And I'm so bad that I can't even be with people. That's how important I am. If I go near them, I'm going to harm them with my badness. Look how important my badness is. Now, you're not consciously thinking that, but that is what's running in the background of the conscious mind in the unconscious mind, when we're not living right-sized for ourselves. And that is another form of having a lack of humility. So humility is not, sometimes in order to be humble, you have to get bigger. You have to become more of yourself to be humble, because someone on earth in a human body who is humble is serving the light. How do you serve the light? You fully be yourself. Why? Because the light made you who you are. You're made of light. So every bit of you that you repress and hide and don't live into is a piece of the light you are repressing and hiding and not living into. And that is also not humility. It's arrogance. It's taking control of the wheel. It's like taking the wheel and being like, that's okay. I'll make it a really small wheel. I'm in control, me and my shattered, injured ego. So I'm going to play really small and not have a voice. It's the flip side of arrogance. It's arrogance in reverse because it's incredibly self-centered and it's fear-based. So are you special or are you not special? Here's the real answer. You're totally special, but if you think your specialness makes you better than other people, then you're still egoically special. But if you understand that you're incredibly special and so is everyone else, then you're spiritually special. Because spiritual specialness is inclusive. Spiritual specialness says, I'm fucking amazing. And so the fuck are you, in a totally different way than me. How could I ever be like you? I can't. You're you. Squeezle the dog here. This is her butt. Let's look at it. Her little butt right here and her little tail. Very special. Pass the fuck out, but very special. Could I ever be special in the way of Squeezle? No, because I'm not a canine. Could she ever be special in the way of Katie? No, two different creatures. Is one of us wrong for not being the other one of us? Of course not. I'm not a dog. So whenever you compare yourself to someone else and feel less than them, it's equally crazy as when I compare myself to the dog right now and go like, I should be her. I might want to emulate her and be more like her. I might want to have more, you know, sparkly, bouncy fun like she has. She's real good at that. And I'll be like, oh, right, fun. Let's have more fun because I see her face. But I can't feel bad that I'm not her, because that would be crazy, because she's a dog, a dog. Similarly, the person sitting next to you who you compare yourself to all day, you can't be them. You could never be them. So please don't waste any more fucking energy, kilowatts, trying to be anyone other than you. You're the only one who can do you, so you may as well do you now. And the more you do you, the more you're actually living in spiritual alignment and being humble. Humble does not mean smaller, except for when it does. Now, I'm going to talk about myself to teach about this point a little bit more articulately and specifically. This is hard to articulate, so I'm sitting with it for a second. I used to suffer very deeply from the, I'll call it the disease of, I'm the biggest piece of shit the world revolves around. Meaning I had really low self-esteem, and then some part of my psyche was combating that or trying to compensate for that by being arrogant. So I was better than everybody at everywhere all the time. Just better than you. So superior. But then by myself alone, constantly insecure and worried and not good enough. And that's what we call the biggest piece of shit the world revolves around. So in AA, they call it being a megalomaniac with an inferiority complex, or an egomaniac with an inferiority complex, which really, you guys, when you talk about it psychologically, it's just, that's what narcissism is. But what we have to understand about narcissism is that the narcissistic stage of human development happens for every child. Children go through the narcissistic stage. But when we're injured in childhood, we never get through the narcissistic stage. So we stop there. And a part of our psyche stays narcissistic out of a defensive need to protect the rest of the system. So you don't want to like hate on narcissists. You want to help them understand where they're stuck in their own path. And I mean, if you're a healer, that's what you want to do. Most people just want to get away from them, which is also a wise choice. Definitely don't date them. Terrible idea. Until they own their shit and start to do their real work, which is hard for a narcissist. But it's very common for normal humans that are not narcissists to have narcissistic wounding. So just because you have some narcissism, most humans have some narcissism, doesn't mean you're a narcissist. Okay, they're two different things. How the fuck did I get on that topic? Okay, specialness, that's how. So we're talking about the two kinds of specialness, the ego kind and the spirit kind. When you actually know, okay, so I was talking about myself. Let me use my example again. I was totally of these two worlds where I was such a piece of shit, but I was so superior. When I started to understand the concept of the duality in that lie, I went to work on the part of my heart that believed I was superior. And then I went to work on the part of my heart that believed it was inferior. And I'll tell you, it's interesting because working on the inferior part was more powerful for me and more transformative than working on the superior part, almost because the inferior part is so hard to get out of, because in our culture, we put it on a pedestal. We do self-deprecating humor. We think people that are humble are people that put themselves down and play small, right? Like, I'm so nice and you go first, and that's me being humble. Okay, so when I started to sit with the energies in my heart that were like, I don't deserve money. I don't deserve love. I'm small and a fuck up and a mess. When that starts to transmute in the heart, all of a sudden there's all this energy. You have access to all this energy. I suddenly was like, oh my God, I can do so many things, because I don't anymore have the energy of what a failure piece of shit I think I am. And the arrogance of that is like a 500-pound weight I was carrying on my heart that was then gone, which then gave me so much freedom and lightness to just like create stuff and not fucking trip on it so much. So are you special or are you not special? You're definitely special. But so is literally every person you've ever met. So a way to work with this would be to go into you have to tell the truth. First of all, you'll be really honest to work on this one. Narcissistic wounding is really difficult to treat and to work on in oneself, because you have to be willing to call out or call the bullshit on the part of you that, it's like when you have really low self-esteem, but one part of you thinks it's better than everyone else, it's very hard to call bullshit on that part, because it's the only thing you feel like you have. How are you supposed to cut the knees off of the part of you that isn't inferior when the rest of you feels inferior? That's very threatening to your ego structure and to your identity structure. So why the fuck would you do it? Well, you might do it because you're looking to understand the truth of who you really are. And the truth of who you really are is not better than anyone else. But guess what? It's also not worse than anyone else. It just is what it is. So clearing the energies of low self-esteem is just as important as clearing the energies of arrogance or narcissism, because they're two sides of the same polarity, two sides of the same coin. And when they dissolve, you're left with just like, oh, it's just me. I'm just a wizard. I'm just a woo-woo wizard lady who changes people's souls with one prayer. It's just what I do. I mean, it's pretty cool. People always say to me, like, I had these two lady friends the other day that I know through improv who we were texting back and forth about, like, what are you doing today? And I was like, oh, I just got two house clearing gigs. And they were like, house clearing, what's that mean? And I was like, oh, it's like I go to somebody's house and they pay me a couple $100 and I like clear all the demons and entities and I make it a happy place. And they were both like, what? And then they both were like, that's amazing. And I was like, amazing. Is it amazing? And I was like, I guess. I just do so much of it that it's like, it's just a thing I do. It's just a thing I do. You know what I think is amazing? People raising children, people doing the taxes for people. How do you sit there and do numbers all day? I think it's amazing. How do you give a fuck about what a kid says all day? You know how boring kids are? They're so fucking boring. They talk about the most inane bullshit and they're totally self-involved. They drive me crazy. I can't parent anybody. I'm not parenting any children. That's an amazing person, a parent. My point is one person more amazing than anyone else? No, it just depends on whose filter you're looking through. Because amazingness is about hierarchy, which is about judgment. So when you really come to understand, like, yeah, I'm pretty cool. I could clear fucking demons from houses and I help people's souls meet God. But you know what? It's like, I also shit and I date people and we break up and I get tired a lot and I'm a cranky motherfucker and I need God in order to feel good. It gives you some humility. It makes you understand there's no superiority in God's world. I'm so fucking spiritual now. I can't even feel superior anymore. It's kind of a bitch. Superiority was very comfortable. Without superiority, one starts to feel quite naked in the world because people can judge me and it can hurt my heart. And that is the reason we don't like to get rid of our specialness, is because we don't want our hearts to get hurt anymore. But as we discussed in one of my healing classes today, everything we do to protect our hearts from getting hurt ends up becoming a limitation in your life. Everything you do to protect your heart getting hurt is it just a defensive structure that actually keeps you isolated and alone. So it's a lie. And it's definitely not part of the spiritual path. I mean, it is when you need to take care of yourself and not open your heart again, do that. But we have to also know that when we're protecting our hearts and hiding and not letting people in, eventually we're going to need to do a little work to get through that. Otherwise, we become miserly or curmudgeonly or sad or alone, and we start to spiral down the other side of the arrogance coin into low self-esteem. When you isolate too much, there's no esteem in that. And then you start to feel like ass about yourself. And then there you are, arrogantly terrible. So the next time you go to judge yourself as being so fucked up and so wrong and so different, ask yourself, are you that fucking special that you're that fucked up? Or probably has everyone you met been as fucked up as you are at some point? Everybody on the spiritual path is just where they are when they're there. And then the next day, you're in a different place. To compare is to despair. There is no point in it. Don't ever compare yourself to anyone ever again, and you'll be fucking free of judgment. And that's called unity and oneness. And then you're God. Cheers, LaCroix. You guys should really sponsor me, LaCroix. I drink you all day. And LaCroix's response is, there's 11 people watching you, not 11 million. So no, bitch. I understand. I love you guys so much. I'm going to put, I have a few little announcements for you. KatieRubin.com is in the old chat there. When you need your healing session, when you need a reading, when you want your human design chart looked at and deeply delved into, you go to KatieRubin.com and you book my ass. Another thing you can do is my healing class, what used to be the Sunday class, which is called Highest Level Healing, is now a Wednesday daytime class. And the new structure of it is it's 4 weeks long, plus you get two full 50-minute private sessions with yours truly. So we do four Wednesdays from 12:30 to 2 Eastern time. And then that's for everybody in class to meet. And we do a bunch of healing and wizard stuff and we process your processing. And then you get two private sessions within the 4 week time. And it's, that's four, I'm going to write numbers, $475 at Katie the Rubin via Venmo to reserve your spot. And that we're going to start again next Wednesday, which would be July 6th. It's a 4 week class, but you get four group sessions, which are game changey. and two private 50-minute sessions with this bitch rocking your world. So hop on in and join us. I love you guys so much. Thank you for being here and letting me be me and receiving me as me and getting something out of it. It means the world to me. Rahima says, this was super good. Excited to look the small, squashed, shmew one with low self-esteem. Shmew? What? I know what you mean. I don't know what that word means, but I like it. I love you guys. Have a good night. Take good care. Bye. Like, I can't tell how long the delay is. Like, when I say words, how long does it take to get through StreamYard, which is the thing we use to do this, to the internet, to where you are? Like, I don't know how long the delay is.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
It's probably 20-ish seconds. That's good to know, Ben. Thank you.